Sally and I went to the cinema on Friday afternoon. We saw a film called Knives Out, a murder mystery film described as a homage to Agatha Christie. I think it was getting near to a parody of Agatha Christie rather than a homage. It was a pleasant afternoon at the cinema, but I don't think the producers need to book a hotel for an Oscar party. But it was a typical murder mystery plotline. Begins with a death, and is the death suicide, or is it murder? If it's murder, who did it? And through the film, the layers are gradually peeled back on what actually happened that evening. Gradually through the film, you have a different insight into this story from different angles, and only at the end do you get the whole picture. You start with a restricted view of events, and then gradually the whole story begins to reveal itself. So much of our time, we have to living our lives restricted to the smaller picture. Life becomes so much more meaningful when you can grasp hold of the bigger picture. If you haven't noticed it, we are in election season. We've now seen all of the party manifestos published. The manifesto is a chance for the political party to paint a bigger picture for all of us. A picture of where they want to take our country over the next 5 years. And if we take our responsibility as voters seriously, we should be asking some of the bigger picture questions ourselves as we come to vote. Not just which of these parties is going to give me the better tax breaks or disrupt my life the least, but which of these parties is going to work for a better world, for a better society, for us all to live in. Bigger picture questions are important. We need to find where we fit within a bigger picture. Not only is this the election season, but this is the beginning of the season of Advent as we turn towards Christmas. As preparation for celebrating the story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, one of the small stories of our world, we turn to the bigger picture of what this is all about. That's what Advent is about. It's about making sure that we set that story of the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem into the bigger picture of what God is doing in this world. Because the story of Jesus coming to us is part of the big story of God working from beginning to the end at work in our world. And the season of Advent challenges to ask not only what am I doing with my life today, tomorrow, for the rest of the week, for perhaps next month, next year, but much bigger questions, much more fundamental questions. Where does my life fit in with God's purposes from beginning to end? The season of Advent asks me not just to ask how my life, my family, fits in with my neighborhood, my nation, but it asks me to face that bigger question of where do I fit in God's purposes for this world and in that project that God's involved in of building a community that is the kingdom of heaven. The bigger picture. That's what Advent is all about. When our lives get so heavily caught up in the small pictures, the little things that take so much attention, so much energy, we're called to ask the big questions. When Jesus was speaking in Matthew and asking those difficult questions of kind of what will be at the end of time when the Lord comes, what will you be doing, where will you be? He was simply asking his followers to face up to the big questions, the really fundamental questions of our lives. Where are we with God? Where do we fit in? These are bigger picture questions. During this Advent, I ought to focus on the prophet Isaiah of Jerusalem as he pressed the community of God's people around him to take seriously the bigger picture that God is painting in the world. Isaiah was speaking and being a prophet in the 8th century before Christ in Jerusalem. It was a time when politically the southern kingdom of Judah was trying to hold its own in a world of superpowers. There was Egypt to the south and Assyria to the north. And they were asking themselves, how do they remain faithful to their God in the midst of this context? And the kings of the time tried to cast a vision for the people to help them to hold on to their faith in God. But the vision they cast was one of national pride and military power. National pride because they believed they were God's chosen people. Military power because they believed that God would always defend them and help them to defend themselves. Isaiah certainly didn't want to challenge the position of them as God's chosen people. The people that God had chosen to reveal himself to. The people that God had chosen to try to work through in order to bring his purposes to the world. But Isaiah dared to paint a bigger picture between that beyond national pride and military power. He dared to cast a wider vision. He took their national pride and saw this in a different light. He looked to a time when not only would the people of Israel come to Jerusalem in order to seek God's will and to seek God's law, but all of the nations of the world would turn to Jerusalem to come and listen to what God was saying. But this meant that for the people of Israel, they had been called by God, not just to pump them up as God's chosen people, but with this responsibility of being a conduit through which God would speak to all the nations and bring all the nations into community with him, where all would hear his word. And then Isaiah wanted to say that military might was not the destination. The world would only be where God wants it to be when people take their swords and melt them down and put them on the blacksmith's anvil and change them and transform them into tools and implements to feed the hungry, to build community, to make for life in the world, where weapons of destruction are turned to tools of growth and health and harmony. Here was a bigger picture that forced the people of Judah to turn and ask new questions about themselves and their God. The things that they thought they were living for, a narrow national pride and a building up of military power, that was not where God wanted them. There was a bigger picture, one of sharing God's word with all the world and moving to a world where military power would be overcome with a world living in harmony one with another. This was bigger picture. Now, of course, the prevailing mood of our culture in the 20th century is one that questions whether or not there is a bigger picture that we are part of. Our 20th century Western culture is a culture that is dominated by postmodernism, where people question whether there is such a thing as a big picture for our world. Certainly a big picture that God is trying to create. Postmodernism tells us that the only bigger picture out there is one that we decide to create for ourselves and among ourselves. And if that's the case, it's no wonder that our world is full of anxiety. Because if it's our responsibility to create this bigger picture out of our own small pictures, then we are bound to be filled with a deep anxiety because it is all beyond us to do that. What Jesus comes and offers us is a bigger picture that we can become part of. The bigger picture that God is making in this world. The bigger picture that God is working in this world, in us and through us. He still uses our freedom. He still uses our small stories. He wants us to be involved and engaged in beating swords into plowshares, into making this world a world of peace. But here is a world in which the bigger picture is being made and created by God at work in our world. And Advent calls us to turn to this God who made this world, who came into this world in Jesus, and who will bring this world to its ultimate consummation in his kingdom, that is a kingdom of peace. And in the midst of this world, he asks us to get this bigger picture and get on board with this bigger picture with him. And doing our own thing in order to make this possible. Because in the end, the bigger picture will affect the way we paint our small pictures in the world, where we give our time and our energy, what we decide to work for. The bigger picture will be there, a world that is about transformation in all sorts of different ways. What we believe will happen at the last day affects what will now we will do and be in these days. Angela Bryan and Sam Hargreaves did some reflection on the beating of swords into plowshares. They began to think around different ways in which we might turn the things, transform the things that destroy us in this world into something that becomes transformative in our world. And this is what they came out with, and this is what I offer as the closing of this sermon. In the last days, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. So in these days, we will turn around the camera of our self-centered selfies to take a long, loving look at the face of Christ in others. So in these days, we will upturn the podium of our calculated competitiveness and elevate the least among us. So in these days, we will dismantle the walls of our fear which keep at arm's length the refugees, the foreigners, the homeless, and build them homes with those same bricks and these same arms. So in these days, we will co-opt the cliques of our comfortable companionship into countercultural welcome and outrageous hospitality. In the last days, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In these days, we will live in this broken world with redemptive purpose until the last days come.